Our text for this morning is the first part of verse 7. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. And let's just ask God to work through his word today. Our Father, again we thank you for your word. And Lord, we plead today that through your Spirit you would work. Pray for myself. Lord, without thee, I can do nothing. Lord, use me today to build up thy people. And Lord, again, I as I have already prayed, Lord, meet your people at the point of their need. May your word come with power to every heart. Glorify your Son. Show us Christ in Jesus' name. Amen. Charles Spurgeon, as a young man of 17 years of age, was making his way to a cottage meeting with one of his mate friends. And as they walked together, Spurgeon said to his friend, "You know, I've been praying for you today that God will help you as you preach." And the friend smiled and goes, "Charles, you've got it all wrong. I've been praying for you today as you preach for the first time." Charles Spurgeon had never preached before. Spurgeon realized straight away that he had been tricked. And I'm sure as any young man would have, he began to panic. "Well, what can I preach on? I don't know how to preach." But as his mind settled, he thought, as a new believer, there's something I can preach on. I can tell people how precious Jesus Christ is to me. And this is what he turned to. "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious." And there's nothing that should thrill the believer and a local church as when we come to, the preacher comes to speak about Jesus Christ. And he comes to lift up his person and his work and present his preciousness. And that's what I want to seek to do by God's help today. But you know, I'm exactly where you are. You know, I feel this text is beyond me in many ways. You know, who am I to speak about the preciousness of Christ? But I also stand with you this morning. And if there's anything I can speak about, and if there's anything any believer is able to speak about who has experienced forgiveness of sin, it is the preciousness of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to consider this morning this afternoon for a few moments. The preciousness of Jesus Christ. And the first thing I want us to notice is what sort of people hold Jesus Christ as precious? Who has the right to say Jesus is precious? Well, the word precious, what does it mean? It means to place in honour. It means to look upon, to value. It means to lift up in high esteem. It also means to cherish. So, who can hold Jesus Christ as precious? Well, unto you that believe, he is precious. It is only believers in Jesus Christ can hold Christ as precious. To the unbeliever, he is not precious. To the unbeliever, Jesus Christ is not dear. He is not altogether lovely. It is only the believer who can sing, "Jesus is precious. He is so precious to me." It is only a believer who can say this, "He is altogether lovely." It is only a believer who can sing, "Now none but Christ can satisfy," or "All that thrills my soul is Jesus." I know exactly what he means. Or we may be like Peter when the Lord in his word presses that question, "Lovest thou me? Do you love me?" We can all say with Peter, Lord, you know all things. You know who I am. You know what is in my heart. And you know that I love you. I would not give you up for anyone. I would not give you up for anything. You are precious to me. And it is only a believer who can say that. So that's our first point. It's only believers who can say that Jesus Christ is precious. Secondly, why is Christ precious to the believer? It's a very important question. Why is Christ precious to you and me? Christ is not precious to us because of how we feel. Christ is precious to us because of what we know. The Bible says he satisfies. The hymns say he never lets us down. He never ever will be a disappointment. Verse 6 is very important. The last part of verse 6. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. That word confounded means disappointed, shame, or embarrassed. And really what it is saying, for the person who trusts in Jesus Christ, there's no disappointment. For the person who believes in Jesus Christ, there's no shame. There's no being let down. Verse 6 is saying, believers in Jesus Christ, they will never, ever, ever be put to shame or disgraced. Believers in Jesus Christ, they will never be disappointed by owning him, by clinging to him, by trusting on him as Lord and Savior. And we can all testify this morning, Jesus Christ has never, ever, ever been a disappointment to us. I have disappointed people. You have disappointed people. And let's be honest, each of us disappoint the Lord Jesus Christ every day by what we say and by what we do. And you know, as I've said, we disappoint people every day. Circumstances disappoint us in life so often that we're brought to even appreciate what Jacob once said, all these things are against me. And when we get to that point in our life, sometimes we have hard thoughts. We feel the Lord has left us to ourselves. But I say to you this afternoon, when all is said and done, and we look back at every experience the Lord has brought us through, we're the ones who are disappointed with ourselves because we didn't put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can tell you, and you can say this, surely this is our experience every time. Jesus Christ, he is not a disappointment. He has never, ever left us helpless. He has never left us ashamed of owning him as Lord. Therefore, to us who believe, what is he? He is precious. We can't speak of anyone else like that. We don't know anyone else like that. But we can speak of Christ like that. And we do confess, each of us, there are many times when we are distressed and we are anxious by what the Lord is doing in our lives. But you know, you think of each hard providence the Lord has brought you through in your life. He has never left you to yourself. He has never disappointed. He has always proved himself. If you have looked to him, if you have looked to him, if you have went to him, if you have cast your care upon him, he has always proved every time that he is not a disappointment. And I know, if I live to 100 years of age, I will never be, I will be able to say, not once did Jesus Christ disappoint me. I will be able to sing, now none but Christ can satisfy. For all of my life, all that has thrilled my soul is Jesus. You know, how many times have you gone to Him? And I hope you do go to Him. How many times have you gone to Him with your heartache, with your worry, with your anxiety? And you have found Him there in His Word, being truthful, being faithful, with open arms. Come and tell me all about it. Come and tell me what you're feeling. Come and tell me your heartbreak, your anxiety, your worry. That's what Christ is saying when He says, cast your care upon me. Come and tell me, because I care for you. Many times have you worried about things and you've said to yourself, there is no way this time that God can work this out for good. And every time God has worked it out for good, and we're disappointed with ourselves because we worried and we failed to put our trust in Christ. Turn over to Psalm 34. Verse 5. They looked unto Him, and they looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. I want you to just simply get the picture. This is a simple picture of what David is painting here. He is looking to the Lord. He's in a great need. He's in a hard place. And he's looking to the Lord for a great need. And in this great need, in this dark place, when he looks to the Lord, when he puts his eyes upon a Savior, when we as God's people lift our eyes to Christ, all the darkness is still there, but our faces are enlightened. In other words, in a dark situation, when we lift our eyes and place them upon Christ, the light of Christ shines into our darkness. They were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. In other words, Christ lit up the dark situation. They weren't left ashamed. They weren't left feeling disappointed with God. They weren't left feeling disappointed with God as their Savior. And that's why David said in verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. What a text of Scripture. Again, so well known that we almost skip over it. But that's our testimony this morning, if we're saved. This poor man cried. That's our testimony in every situation since we've been saved. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. Believer, there will never be a time when Jesus lets you down. There will never be a time when the Lord Jesus disappoints you. Therefore, for us who believe, what is He? He is precious. There's another reason why Jesus Christ is precious to believers. Jesus is precious to believers because He is so gracious. Go back to 1 Peter and notice verse 2 and 3. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Peter is saying here that God's people have tasted and experienced the graciousness of Christ. Who was Peter writing to? He was writing to newborn babes. In other words, these folk, they were just saved. And straight away in their Christian experience, they had found that Jesus Christ was very gracious. And again I say this, the Lord is gracious in verse 3. That is our testimony. We have received grace. That defines, if you're saved today, that defines your life. You're not defined by your salary or your job or your social standing. There's nothing wrong with having a good career and a nice house. But never think that defines you. Because at the end of the day, there's only one thing that describes who you are. What is it? Jesus Christ is gracious. Do you know what explains, if you're saved today, know what explains your life compared to the person who is at the depths, in the depths of sin? Know what explains who you are compared to a man who is an atheist? What is it? That you're better than him? That you deserve more than him? No. You have received grace. Always remember that. No matter where you are in your life, that is the explanation. The gospel explains you. I have received grace from Christ. And one day, he showed us that grace. We were dead in our sin. We loved our sin. Up till I was 20 years of age, I loved my sin. I couldn't get enough of it. And then when it burdened me down, I couldn't shake it because I was a slave to it. I needed somebody to come and rescue me from my sin. And it was the grace of Christ that did that. I don't know how it happened to you, but Christ got in front of me and he showed me that I was undone and I was a sinner on the road to hell. But he showed me that he was the mighty Savior who could rescue me and deliver me from my bondage that I was in. Jesus Christ has graciously stepped into your life. And he has took you out of the kingdom of darkness, which is a kingdom of bondage and slavery to sin. And he has translated you into a kingdom of light. He has taken that heart away that loved sin and was a slave to sin. And here at Christ. And he has given you a heart that hates sin and loves Christ. So, how are you defined this morning? I have received grace. And it is God's grace in Christ that keeps us. Because let's be honest, we have that nature within us that wants nothing more than to go back to our sin. As Paul said, the thing I want to do, I don't do. And the thing I hate to do, I find myself doing. Think of who we are. Think of what we have done this last 3 days. Don't we have a gracious Savior dealing with us? Think of how harsh we can be. Think of how ill-tempered we can be. And yet, Christ is never harsh with us. Christ is never ill-tempered. He's never impatient. Think of how we have grieved the Lord again and again and again by our thoughts and our actions and our tongue. Think of the hard thoughts you have had about your Savior. I have had about my Savior. We've been fearful. He doesn't care. He's left us to ourselves. He's abandoned us. But what happens? He doesn't leave us in our hard thoughts. He comes and he deals graciously with us. He doesn't say, haven't you learned your lesson yet? And in the face of all of our ill-treatment and our hard thoughts about Jesus Christ, he comes with that ocean of grace and he pours grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon our proud, stubborn, prone to wander hearts. He comes to me. He comes to you. We've been in our bed of ease. We've forgotten who we are. We belong to Christ. Our hearts have become lukewarm. We have begun to live for ourselves. And then Christ comes through a sermon, through a Bible reading. Does this describe somebody here today? You know, is the Lord speaking to you? You have to say, David, I have been losing out with the Lord. I have forgot who I am. Forgot that I am saved by grace. I have forgot what Jesus Christ has done for me. It's a long time since I have walked with Christ. It's a long time since I have fellowship with Christ. It is a long time since that knowledge of God's grace has spilled out in my life, showing love for Christ and telling other people about Christ. You have to be honest with yourself. You know, is there a door and it's shutting the Lord out of your life? Well, so often, and I plead it happens today, and grace doesn't come to our little lumps of clay. And Jesus says to you today, I'm waiting to be gracious to you. I'm not going to come in and slap you around and rough you up. I'm standing outside your door of your heart. And I'm wanting to come in and sup with you. That text of Scripture is not for the unbeliever. You remember that? That text of Scripture is for the believer. And does that describe where you are? That Jesus Christ is standing outside the door, waiting to be gracious to you, waiting for you to invite him in to have fellowship. Well, I would say today, you call upon Christ and tell him who you are and what you have done and how you have been called and left him outside the door of your life and invite him back in. And what you will be able to say is, again, Christ has proved himself gracious. He has poured grace upon grace upon grace upon my proud, stubborn heart. Jesus is gracious. Therefore, for us who believe, he is precious. There's another reason why Christ is precious to believers. Christ is precious to believers because we are precious to him. That's another truth. When you're feeling like having a bad day, what do you know? I am precious to Jesus Christ. And there's no clearer demonstration of how Christ holds you as precious. Jesus Christ gave his life. He died that we might live. He became guilty of your sin. He became guilty of my sin that we might be declared righteous. Having loved his own, he loved them to the end. And Jesus Christ says to you this morning, if you're doubting, that he holds you precious. Here is the proof that you are precious to me. I left heaven. I left aside my glory. I came to this world. I took upon me the body of a man. And I went to a cross for you. And I died for your sins that you might live. You know what? I don't want ever in my life to get used to the cross. It's a tragic, tragic thing. And it's a plague on the church. When we, as God's people, can come to Calvary and look through in his word at what Christ did for us and not be moved. Behold the man upon the tree. Behold my sin. Behold your sin upon his shoulders. Think of his physical sufferings. They stripped him naked. That's what you deserved. You deserved that shame. It should have been us who were stripped naked. They ploughed his back with a whip. It should have been us. That is what we deserved. They pounded his hands with spikes in our place. His whole body wretched with pain. Isaiah says his visage or his appearance was so marred more than any man. And is far more than the sons of men. This is physical sufferings. And what Isaiah is saying there, when the Romans had finished with Christ, he wasn't recognizable as a human being. You take that in. That is his physical sufferings. He took that suffering instead of us. And yet, that's not the most horrific thing that happened at the cross. The Father forsook the Son. The Father closed the door on the Son. The wrath that we deserved fell upon the Son. Jesus was punished as a liar. Our lies. He always told the truth. Jesus was punished as a gossip and a slanderer. He never spoke in such a way. Jesus was punished as a rapist, a murderer, a paedophile. The whole heap, the whole, every sin you can think of, every sin we have committed in our minds and in our actions. The wrath that we deserved fell upon Christ. Justice, yes, had to be satisfied. But you remember this. Jesus Christ went to such lengths for you. All your personal sins were laid upon Jesus Christ. Why? Because you are precious to him. Ponder your own life. Are you worth that? Are you worth the death of Jesus Christ? And yet, that's the value that Jesus puts upon your life. Who am I? Who are you? That Jesus would die for us. You know, don't ever get used to that. Don't ever take that for granted. Again, that's why I say to you, and I tell this to our folk in Antrim. You've got to preach that to yourself every day. Because if you don't, you'll never know and understand what Jesus Christ has done. Our pastor and under Mr. Thompson says this continually. Preach the gospel to yourself. Preach every day to yourself what Jesus Christ has done for you. And when you view Christ on the cross for you, oh, you'll be able to say yourself, I know, I am precious to Jesus Christ. I had another thought there about where we see Christ as precious, but time's gone. So just finally, the proof in the life of the believer that Christ is precious. You can say that Jesus is precious to you, but you've got to prove it, don't you? Spurgeon said, when someone tells him that Jesus is his Lord, he watches who he obeys. And if he obeys the devil, he knows Jesus Christ is not his Lord. Christ is no part of him. If Jesus Christ is precious to you, there's going to be proof in your life. You will cherish Christ's company above all others. That's a very simple proof. You will want to be in the presence of Christ. Now, that doesn't mean you go around reading your Bible all day and saying prayers all day. But you will live before Christ's presence all day. Seek to live before Christ's presence and in Christ's presence all day. That will include having a quiet time. That will include having times of prayer. But it will be much more. Your mind will always be on Christ. What you do in the workplace will be before Christ and because of Christ. What you do as a husband and your relationship as a husband to your wife and your relationship as a wife to your husband will be done because of your relationship to Christ. That will reflect it. And that's a challenge to your husband and wife. Does your marriage show that Christ is precious to you? Does your employer see, or your employee see, that how you conduct yourself, Jesus Christ is precious to you? If Jesus is precious to you, you will give up. This just continues on. You will give up that which grieves Christ. There's a sanctifying process here. The more Christ is precious to you, the more ready you will be to give up that which grieves him. Are you clinging on to pet sins? Well, I would challenge you today, try and put that sin between the cross and yourself. And you can't continue with it. Crucify that sin. And when you do sin, if Christ is precious to you, run to Christ. Tell him you're sorry, because he is precious. Another proof. If Christ is precious to you, what is precious to Christ will be precious to you. Do you know the most precious thing to Christ? Is his church. Some people don't actually grasp that. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I hope you love this local body here, because if you're struggling with that, Christ is not precious, because every person in this local body is precious to Christ. And if Christ is precious to you, you will show that by your earnest prayers for this congregation. You will show that by your earnest prayers for the preacher and the preaching of the word. Christ is precious to you. The people of God will be precious to you. You know, when an awful blight in the church is God's people slandering other Christians. And yet, When we slander other Christians, what are we doing? We are wounding Christ's body. Because the church is Christ's body. Remember that. When we speak ill, we are driving a sword into Christ's body. Remember, each believer has got to be precious, because Christ is precious to you. If Christ is precious to you, you will make use of the means which bring you closer to God. What are the means of grace? The preaching of the word. Being together with God's people. the Lord's table. This table will be precious to you because it's a means of grace. It's where you meet Christ. It's where you can preach the gospel to yourself again and remember what Christ has done for you. You know, the Word of God, the preaching of God's Word, the Lord's table, the place of prayer is not precious to you. Jesus Christ just isn't as precious as maybe you think he is. I close with this thought. Those who hold Christ to be precious, they will prove it by longing for his return. There's one person we should all long to see. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we want to see him? Do we want to see him face to face and embrace him and thank him for who he is and what he has done for us? Do we understand what John meant when he said so long ago, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus"? I close with this question. Be honest with yourself. Is Jesus Christ precious to you? Is he? Take that thought. Think about it. Talk about it. Talk about it over the dinner table today. And pray this. Lord, do what it takes. But by your grace, may Jesus Christ become more and more precious to me. Unto us who believe. What is he? He is precious. Amen. We'll leave off there.